This is John Udall, and my guests for this week's Perspectives show are Barbara Willett and Nigel Snowd. Barbara works for Mercy Corps in Afghanistan as the Design, Monitoring, and Evaluation Manager for a number of agricultural development programs. Nigel is the Lead Capabilities Researcher for Microsoft Humanitarian Systems. Together, they've pioneered the use of FeedSync as a way to synchronize data collection and reporting in an environment where internet connectivity is spotty and where lightweight two-way synchronization is essential.
How are you doing?
I'm good. Barbara, thanks for joining us. I had about a 20-minute chat with Nigel on a bunch of technical background that we won't go into in this call, but I will probably try to weave in some separate thing that I would do. But what we want to do here is focus on who you are, what Mercy Corps is, what is this situational awareness application that you've worked with these guys on, and what's been the effect of putting it in place and how that's been working out for you.
Okay. Briefly, I'm the Design Monitoring and Evaluation Manager here in Afghanistan, here for about a year now. I arrived last year, I think in March, about the same time we had a consultant come in, doing a general DM&E and program review, and he also brought with him another technical consultant who had done some work with other Mercy Corps programs on technical issues and primarily developing databases. So between the two of them, they were providing us sort of some insight and advice about how to construct a better centralized DM&E system, both on the technical side and on the systematic program side.
Okay, so can we, for context purposes, back up a little bit and explain, what is being designed, monitored, and evaluated? In other words, what are the programs that you're supporting, and what are those programs doing in the country?
Sure, the programs in Afghanistan, almost everything is revolving around agricultural development.
Okay.
Since that's the primary sort of activity in the country and the primary means of assisting people in improving livelihoods and raising income and standard of living. So we have a number of different programs funded by USDA, funded by DFID, the British government, funded by the European Commission, a number of programs by the EC, but all sort of with the same goal of improving the livelihoods of Afghan people.
Okay. So I'm on your webpage right now, and I see, for example, things like a microfinance program. Is that in the scope of what we're talking about here?
Yes, microfinance is part of the scope, except that it's an older program, and it's nearly 100% self-sustaining now and is registered as an independent unit. So doesn't really is not administered directly through us nor through the monitoring and evaluation system that we have.
Okay. Well, what are some examples of ones that are under your current domain?
The ABAD program, which is sort of where all of this started, which is USDA. It's funded by monetization of USDA products. The resources from which go to support programming and training, business development, and technical capacity training of farmers.
Okay.
And also a lot of promotion in the area of animal health, developing and redeveloping, reestablishing the veterinary field units and training veterinaries and paraveterinaries and female livestock workers in rural areas, especially in the south, which sort of dovetails with the agricultural programming.
Okay, so there's a funded program to help farmers with technical capacity and business development. And your management challenge relative to that is what exactly?
The management challenge is developing tools that are applicable to multiple programs that are doing the same kind of things.
Okay.
Everybody is involved in technical and business capacity in agriculture and interested in measuring improvement in sales and production. So part of the challenge is creating tools and processes that are applicable across programs. Then the follow-up to that is how to share that information, how to collect data on it, how to share that data. So collecting basic programmatic information and actual impact data.
Okay. And so the people who are the field workers in, let's say, this training, mm-hmm. in this training example, are in, I don't know, a dozen or several dozen locations around the country with, intermittent or no internet access kind of thing. Is that the picture?
Yeah, and wanting the interest, since we have intermittent access to those types of technology, and a lot of people kind of all over the country doing the same thing but in different ways, trying to standardize how we collect that information, how we synchronize it and share it and report on it.
Okay. And then so you had, as I understand it, a pre-existing system which was based on access and had challenges with the synchronization of the data that was flowing from those access databases to a central office. Is that the story?
Initially, we didn't have access. When I arrived here, there wasn't any centralized system at all.
Oh, okay.
It was all, everything was Excel based and just sharing spreadsheets month to month from this region, from that region, trying to get things to compile and aggregate and all of that.
So we
did started the access system with the idea, at the same time we were starting that, we were also meeting with Microsoft, who was here meeting with other people and had sort of some other, I think, issues in mind and other plans, but we were talking with them too just to learn more about it. But at the same time, we started realizing that the access replication wasn't really working out for us because of the internet problems and how bulky and cumbersome the process could be.
Nigel, that's where you came in?
Yep. Yeah, that's where we came in. Basically, as Barbara said, we were in Afghanistan sort of as a part of our cycle of for the humanitarian systems team, where we're looking to sort of talk with people about a bit of show and tell, show some proof of concepts, and mainly gain feedback about what people would like, what people actually really need, and use that to iterate what we're doing and then look to partnerships for doing pilots and real field use. And so our discussions with Mercy Corps were sort of both around, well, here's what we've got, this is what we're thinking, does that make sense to you, what do you really need, how's it going? And Mercy Corps was really great for that, because they were fairly well advanced in their thinking about how they were using their access solution, and more particularly the whole architecture of what they wanted to do was quite clear. Clearly evolving, but quite clear. And so it was actually great to be able to talk to people about saying, well, if we had this to work on, how would you like it to work? And that was phenomenally good feedback for us. But at that stage, as Barbara said, we weren't thinking about this particular project that we ended up doing together. We're talking about some other possibilities. And it wasn't until a bit later where we'd sort of taken their feedback, actually, which is some of the best we had, and built it into the tools to the extent we could, that we started having another conversation with them, as Barbara said, when their solution wasn't working so well for them.
So from your perspective, Barbara, what did this wind up looking like? Did it wind up looking like exactly what you had before, except it magically was synchronizing more effectively?
As the manager who's not particularly technically savvy but sort of knows what she wants to have happen, it was answering...
Otherwise known as the perfect customer, by the way.
I wanted things to happen. I wanted the information to sort of share. I just wanted to say, okay, we all have the same database in all our field offices. So then let's just somehow, whether it's, every week or every month or every minute or however it happens, the information just has to connect.
Yeah.
And it seemed on paper like that could happen with access if we did it on a periodic basis.
Yep.
Through the replication.
Yep.
But then when we realized all the problems that was causing, we realized that the application of this technology that Microsoft had been talking about, which seemed maybe a little beyond our needs, kind of a larger scope or for something, more countrywide, more intra-agency rather than just kind of our little connection between a few offices. It still seemed like that application might actually solve the problems that we had. So they wanted to try it. We wanted to try it. So it seemed to dovetail well. And yeah, it did. It made exactly happen in reality what I wanted to happen sort of on paper. And like I said, what I wanted it was to happen periodically, however often was possible, which I was willing to make that weekly or monthly if that's what it takes. But now it's like every 5 minutes or every 10 minutes, I think we have it set for. Okay. So there's just that real time. And that's kind of what the bosses ultimately wanted, was real time.
Yeah.
We want information available real time for people to look at and make decisions from.
Now, are you in a situation where the updates that flow in from the different endpoints tend to not conflict with one another, so that you haven't yet had very much issue with conflict resolution on the updates?
We have not had a lot of issue yet with the conflict resolution. Our biggest issues have just been in our own database development, because the database itself is still evolving.
Right.
So each time that changes, then it changes the nature of the job mapping and feed sync. So that's our biggest challenge. But we haven't encountered really any conflict resolution issues at all.
Okay. Because of the way things are organized.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, and also, sorry, it's Nigel here.
Yeah.
I'd probably add to Barbara's comments there. Yeah, the conflict resolution stuff is in there, and I think it'll become increasingly important as the size of the data grows and the sort of the activity from all the endpoints grows. And as I was saying to you earlier, John, I think we were quite deliberate, as Barbara said, of, okay, let's just try this in one place. Let's just see if it, from Mercy Corps' perspective, works the way that the Microsoft team had envisaged.
Yeah.
Because we really were doing this a very tight spiral between developing new ideas and technologies and also proofing them and using them. And so that was it was actually great to be able to do that in a real environment, but also a fairly controlled one, which was our first pilot in Kunduz. Mm-hmm. But then you took it all over the country, damn you.
So from your perspective, Nigel, just to be clear about this, there was a pre-existing synchronization technology which was found not to work. So explain what that was, why it didn't work, and why the feed sync based solution is working. What's the difference?
So Barbara, please correct me, but the solution that Mercy Corps had set up initially and was trialing and piloting was using access and access replicas, which is actually a great technology. But one of the things they were struggling with in Afghanistan particularly was that with an unreliable internet connection, they're left with sort of the access replicas weren't working particularly well. So either they'd flake out partway in between, or they were sending quite a large amount of data in some cases, and a few other stuff that you just don't get when you're running it over a normal LAN. So in some ways, they're really looking at linking up completely different business sites. And they were using a VPN technology, a peer-to-peer VPN technology, that would work okay for sometimes, but then would flake out again as well, and primarily due to the internet connection.
Okay.
But it was quite a set of contraptions to manage. And the second piece was that, partly database design and partly just exploring how to do things, the Actus replicas were just giving a bit of confusion as a tool. So, and the third thing was that I'd say that some of their locations, there's no internet at all.
Uh-huh.
Not just unreliable, but I know that you've increasingly rolled out internet to all the major offices, Barbara, which is great, but potentially even more remote field sites. How on earth do you actually do the synchronization in a way that's seamless for the user over the sort of a no internet connection? Mm-hmm. And clearly that's going to be something taken by a courier, be it a disk or a file or a spreadsheet or a memory stick carrying those things.
Yes.
And so that's the stuff that sort of wasn't working and was causing problems.
So, but it's the same with FeedSync, it's still the same. You still, in the case of no internet, need to sneaker internet the thing, right? So.
Absolutely. But, I mean, having done this in a bunch of other places, I think anyone who's tried to manage a very lightweight system like this that's a bit disparate has had the same problem about, if you used access, about, okay, let's export to a file, be it CSV or something else, and then import it. But that's a one-way transfer. And there's all kinds of data that you want to get back.
Yes.
So very minimally, you want a correction to data if there's a problem.
Yes.
And that's where the conflicts can come up. And I know they have, but they're a bit low in the case at the moment for the Mercy Corps. But the other thing is that the reference lists and the lookups, so the list of the names of provinces, the names of villages, the staff lists who are attending trainings, and all the things that the system manages that are not strictly sort of reports or forms, still has to flow back to the edge and be kept, and you know, they have to be kept consistent.
Yeah, so the point is it's not only that it's a lightweight technology which is more resilient to the poor connectivity,
yeah,
but it's a two-way technology.
It's a two-way technology, and yeah, effectively you've got multi-versions of the same thing. You're not have different versions that you're trying to somehow export and import and merge.
And Barbara, I'm just curious if that aspect of things is evident to you yet in how you're using this.
Absolutely, and one of the things that I kind of laughed about at first is that I didn't understand a lot of the terminology and the discussions and explanations that they gave at first, and I kept hearing the word lightweight, and I just didn't understand what do you really mean by lightweight?
Yeah.
In terms of this sort of software, but when I compared the Access replication, which you know is basically taking the entire database and replicating it into another place, which takes a long time, and then
yeah,
the internet cuts out, and then corrupted the whole table,
yeah,
the whole structure. You know, now instead of that, now you're sending just pieces of information.
Just
and
changes.
That to me means, oh, that is lightweight, because it's just a few pieces of information going on over time. If it doesn't work right now, it'll work again in a half an hour,
mm-hmm,
you know, and it just keeps trying, and it is. It's completely lightweight and easy.
Mm-hmm.
In that sense, but and definitely the two way street. Like I said, we're still very much developing things, and even if it were perfectly developed, there are still changes that have to happen from our side for the other side to be able to keep up with things. Like you said, staff lists, people enter training records, and they have to apply it to names of staff members. But we get new staff all the time, so we need to continually update, you know, the records from this side so that they have an appropriate list of people to choose from. And so just those kinds of things, that's really the whole nature of it. That's the whole success of it for us.
Okay.
Probably just follow up on that comment from Barbara, and you were talking about, you know, staff still have to sort of sync to a file and things like that. One of the things that we were pretty conscious of when we're building the job manager, which is the piece that runs the feed sync, on people's desktops, is that it's an app that just sits there, and you
mm-hmm.
program into it, you build a bunch of jobs, and a job is it takes a data source and syncs it with another data source. So in the primary case for Mercy Corps, it's take an Access database, or take a table from an Access database, I should say, and syncs it with a feed on a website,
mm-hmm.
a relay, a website that acts as a relay. And that's one job. And so you have one of those for each of the tables in the database, and so that's how you sync them all up. And, of course, referential integrity, all these technical issues with the database are things that you can sort of try and manage, and there's a few pieces of help for that. But the other piece is that we run a sync to a file. So it takes the table in the database and syncs to a feed, in this case an RSS feed, XML file, on a file source. If the internet is not connected, the sync doesn't work. So it just waits until it tries again. Similarly for the file. So all the user has to do is plug in the memory stick. And if the memory stick's plugged in, and this is if we've set it up right, of course, if the memory stick's plugged in, then it'll sync to the directory on that from the database. And so from the user perspective, they don't have to worry about, am I exporting this to the right place? Have I called it the right file name? Is it the right format? All that kind of stuff. If it's plugged in, it just happens. And similarly for the internet. And that's, I think, a great sort of advantage. Again, caveat that it keeps working and is set up right from a lightweight system in this way.
And Barbara, have you had occasion to exchange files, like memory stick-based files, from place to place?
We have not exchanged too much in the way of files. We just this week had all of our focal points from all the field in the office, so we gave them all on their flash drives an updated version of the database with all the new feed sync mapping, because we've still been using the SSE in the field. So now they're, I hate to tell you this, Nigel, but we're going feed sync now.
I'm now terrified and happy.
So we've remapped everything and just sort of given them a new version of everything that they can just plug in and start using from there. So we haven't had to have that manual exchange yet because of internet problems being that bad.
Okay.
Because as he said, eventually things pick up. It's the intermittentness of the internet connection that's a problem.
Okay.
But eventually things usually work.
Okay. And at this point, the kind of the master source is what's up in the Live Labs site. Is that right?
Well, the master source is really the database that's in Kabul.
Okay.
But the access database there. But yeah, the replicas are being also managed on the feedsync.mslivelabs.com, I think it is. The plug is that anyone can go and set up a feed and a synchronization endpoint up there. But yeah, we're using that. Mercy Corps manages a bunch of feeds and syncs up there, and that's where all the field databases sync to that, mm-hmm. and then Kabul syncs to that and gets the data back down, and vice versa.
Okay.
But yeah, just to your early point, I mean, we tested the sort of the lightweight Pony Express is really what it is, running the files back mm-hmm. and forth. But it's actually great that they haven't had to use it too much in the field. And that's been actually a great part about Mercy Corps rolling out their internet at the same time as they're rolling out and this whole solution in the field. And just to one of Barbara's points earlier, I mean, this started out as FeedSync used to be called SSE, and this started out back when as the first users of SSE in anger, if you like, with Mercy Corps in Afghanistan, which I think is quite exciting. But we had a lot to learn. There were some issues and problems, and what we're looking to now, as Barbara said, is they're moving to FeedSync. And what that means is it's a slightly different version of the specification, not much. It's a different service on the website. And more importantly, the latest version of tools that I just gave to Fahim a day and a half ago, and Fahim's the technical manager for Barbara's group, the latest version of the tools is, I hope, the ones that we're releasing publicly in a couple of weeks' time.
Yep. So things that I'm guessing you would like to see in the future, Barbara, one of them we've already touched on would be a better way to do schema evolution, right? So that the database can evolve and the changes to the database structure can be part of this sort of seamless synchronization. That would be ideal, I think, from your perspective, right?
Yeah, that would be. this
is a long conversation.
That's a very hard problem. Here's a bit of lower hanging fruit, though. I am certain that you work in many parts of the world where connectivity is basically SMS more than internet, or maybe exclusively SMS. I know that this is the kind of thing that in principle could run over an SMS network. Is that something you've thought about or encountered?
Is the question to me or Barbara?
Well, really both. I mean, I'm sure. So, Barbara, I'm sure you would find uses for that.
For applying the same technology to SMS, I lost you a little bit at the end there.
Yes.
Yeah, sure. And actually, some of our other offices have been using not necessarily this technology, but have been using SMS technology as a means of sharing bits of information and connecting it into a larger database. We haven't really found the need to do that yet, but you know, certainly have that as an option out there and are considering it where it needs to be. But because we don't have that many people far out in the field who would directly be entering data, it's still pretty much data entered from field offices.
Okay.
So that the sort of remoteness is less of an issue for us here.
Okay.
But in other programs where they really are visiting a lot of, you know, sites and schools all over the country and have to report directly minute bits of data from all of these various sites, then it works out really well.
Okay. So, okay.
John, just to follow up on your question, though, it's funny you ask because we've actually built an SMS adapter for this already, and it's sort of just in testing at the moment. And that does exactly what you say. So rather than sending the data over the internet, it breaks it up into SMS packets and sends it that way.
Yeah.
So that can be a lot of packets, of course, which can be quite expensive. But we were talking to a different NGO in Afghanistan, actually, who operates in very insecure areas where they don't have internet at all. And there, they're very interested in doing the same kind of thing that Barbara's doing for Mercy Corps, but using the SMS, partly because in some of the areas, the security is so bad they can't even be seen to be carrying data and bits of paper around. Second is that if it takes 6 hours to drive somewhere, the cost of a whole bunch of 1 cent SMSs is a lot cheaper than even the petrol required, let alone the risk involved. And so we've explicitly been talking to them and actually setting up and testing and running this kind of thing, and it works quite nicely. And we've also tested a bit which does a bit more like what Barbara was talking about, which is the ability to take data from these feeds and send it out to a phone just by an SMS or vice versa.
Yeah, the broadcast aspect of it.
The broadcast or the receiving. So you need an interpreter at some stage. There's a gateway somewhere involved which takes the data from the feed or the database and says, here's the bit you want, or takes the bit from you and incorporates it back in. But there's also kinds of things possible. And I'm really excited about that for the future of our work. And I think it could be really useful in Afghanistan. But I think we've got there's plenty of issues with just keeping the Mercy Corps solution running and learning from it, which is something we're doing all the time. I mean, it hasn't been, I wouldn't want to make you believe that this has been just a dream one where everything's worked perfectly off the ground. I mean, software doesn't work that way. But even just 2 days ago, I learned an incredible amount working through some stuff with Fahim, who is the Mercy Corps technical person supporting Barbara, from some bugs and problems they were having. Some of the feeds wouldn't sync. Why? Turns out some things you have to learn about how to set it up right.
Sorry about that, Nigel.
Hey, mate, it's great. It's now documented and it's part of the FAQ that's going to go out and release the tools.
Okay, good.
And so from the Mercy Corps perspective, to kind of step back a little bit on this, how would Mercy Corps envision making broader use of an open toolkit, which is one of the outcomes of this work?
I think there's been a very cautious wait-and-see approach from the beginning, at least, you know, in the early stages of this. Our IT has been a little like, oh, I don't know, this sounds maybe could be interesting. Let's see how it works. Mm-hmm. But now that people are understanding more about it and are seeing that it's just sort of a new practice now for us. It's not really a pilot anymore. It's not thinking that's something new that we're trying to do. It's just the way we're operating now.
Yeah.
So I think people are starting to talk about it more. We're starting to get a regional interest in, you know, how can we be sharing information now regionally across offices, and how can other countries make use of the same technology? Is it going to help them in ways that they need it, or if they're encountering the same problems? I think a lot of the countries we're in don't have the internet problems we have, but now that we're sharing more of the success, I'm seeing a lot more of an informal recommendation out to Pakistan. Well, maybe you guys should consider this synchronization now, as you develop your new database system. And so it's sort of working its way into the lexicon of how we're going to deal with data and technology and sharing information.
And if one of your organizations were in a country that didn't have connectivity issues as you do in Afghanistan, would there still be a motivation to use this, do you think, or not really?
No, I think there are other benefits too.
The lightweight, near real-time aspect is appealing even when there is sufficient bandwidth to do more heavyweight replication.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. And and also, you know, for us, going from one access database to an identical access database is one thing, but some of the initial discussions were, you know, sharing information across platforms that may not be identical, but share common variables.
Yes.
And that's where I think there might be more utility from one country program to another or within a region that, you know, we all need to report certain pieces of information, but we collect it in different ways and store it in different ways. But if there's a system that we can upload it similarly, that would be, you know, I think a huge success for us as well.
Yeah, that's a great point. So part of what's going on here is defining a kind of a neutral common ground for data exchange.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just to that point, I think for Mercy Corps, I mean, there's a whole pile of options they should be looking at when they think about sync, because, you know, FeedSync is not the be-all and end-all of doing sync. It's got some particular areas it seems to be good for. But that last point about interoperability really is, I think, really interesting and important, because as Barbara said at the start, we were really interested in it as well, and we still are, about how this can be used to link up disparate systems. And sometimes that might be an Excel spreadsheet to a database, many ways to do that. But also, you know, different organizations, or in Mercy Corps' case, perhaps different countries where they work, they run slightly different database designs, because there isn't the same kind of homogeneity that you might get in a, you know, a Coca-Cola. But even a Coca-Cola would have differences between the different programs. And that, I think, is where the real strength of the system will lie. And we've got a lot of work to do thinking about how to make that better. But I think that's going to be a lot of fun. One of the things that I'm really concerned about, and we were really concerned in Afghanistan, is that just to make sure that if Mercy Corps or another group wanted to roll it out somewhere else, that there was a support to do that. And I don't think we've got that perfect yet by any means. But one of the things we did was we sat down and showed what we're doing with Mercy Corps to a bunch of other NGOs who we'd been talking to all year, actually. And they were sort of more in the wait and see bucket, see what happens. And we'd shown them what we'd said was possible. But Mercy Corps took a risk on us and actually said, okay, let's try it. But after that show and tell, a whole bunch of people were very interested in taking this kind of tool, be it FeedSync or something similar, and using that for their programs. And I think the best example might be in something like where you've got a whole pile of different agencies implementing a common program. So in Afghanistan, there's this thing called the National Stability Program. Is that what it's called? NSP.
NSP.
Yeah. NSP, everybody calls it. And it's run all over the country whereby different villages run projects. They might build a dam, they might improve a road, they might build a school, etc. And various NGOs, Afghan and international, help them with that. But all the reporting happens to a standard format. But every different organization has their own way of managing that whole process. And so one of the big challenges there is how to integrate the data, and then also how to pass back success and lessons learned.
Yeah.
And everybody, yeah, the big NGOs already have their own systems, almost all in Access, all with clearly some of the same data schemas, because the ministry says this is how you will report. Mm-hmm. But no way for that aggregation to happen nicely. And that's one place where these various NGOs saw the Mercy Corps. We did a show and tell, basically. And we'd been talking to them before, and they said, okay, now this is kind of interesting to us. You actually made it work for real, admitting all the problems that we'd had getting things working. That's just part of the learning experience. But key to that was that we're hoping still that there's an Afghan technical NGO that has developers and who can support this. So we'll give them the tools. And they're kind of waiting, I think, for us to give them sort of the final version of things. And they're able to then use that to help others. And I think that's our plan more broadly globally. But and also for the releasing it as a community toolkit, the goal is that a whole bunch of people can take this as something they can use for interoperability or explore different ways to do things. And that's the plan for our team with the kit.
This makes good sense. I think we
Will surprise us, I hope.
I think we should. This has been an excellent conversation. I want to really thank you, Barbara, for joining.
Barbara, thanks. And send me a message with how Fahim's getting along with everything, because there may still be some issues, but I hope it's okay.
Yeah, it's great. Thank you so much.
All right.